Would you pray with me? Lord, we give you thanks for this day. And Lord, we thank you that we do have something much greater than this place to look forward to. But Lord, as we continue to live our lives in this world here, we ask that you would strengthen us for each day. And Lord, that you instill in us that firm belief and that assurance that you forgive us and you have promised us eternal life, and that we even get to experience some of that here on this earth. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds, and Lord, that you would block out a few of the distractions that we might have right now at this moment, so that we can focus on your word, so that your word will travel into our ears and to our minds and down to our hearts, so that we can live for you in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. After we finish this morning, we will be a third of the way finished with the Believe series, which will still take us till the end of around August before we get to the very end of it. But as I was thinking back over the last few Sundays, and I thought, well, I wonder if anyone even remembers any of the key beliefs that we've been going over. Can anyone tell me what the first key belief was that we talked about? God? Okay. God, the second one was, and I'm not going to go over these because I'll take too much time, but the second one was a personal God. The second one was salvation. And the third one I always have to think about was the Bible. The fourth one. And then the fifth one was our identity in Christ, and how all of that wrapped up, you know, our identity in Christ. The world seems to place identity on the things we have, but really our worth and everything is in our identity. Those really dealt with, as I said last Sunday, really what God does in our life, what God is doing in the world. And then when we went to the sixth through where we are today, really focuses more on our relationship and with God and with the world that we live in. We talked about the sixth one. Does anybody remember? It was humanity, I believe. Then we went to compassion. No, it was the church. Six was the church, how the church is in the world to share the gospel with Jesus Christ. And then the seventh, we went to humanity and compassion, how God sees everyone the same. Yet we don't really practice that, but we should. So humanity, compassion, last week, stewardship, how we've been given everything that we have, and God has placed us as a manager over those things. And then today, you know, I said we started off pretty hard, but I think it almost got harder and harder as we went along. Because today we look at the topic, the belief of eternity. Now, I'm going to say that there may be, and I could be wrong, but there's probably been more literature written, books written, movies produced, TV shows come out, trying to get a grasp on what this, the end of life is going to be like and what eternity is going to be like. And so there's just been a whole host of ways of trying to come up with that. And I've come to the conclusion that there's really two types of people. The first type are those who believe in an eternity. And then there are those who don't believe in an afterlife at all. They just think you live here, you die, and that's it. And so as we think about that in terms of eternity, hopefully we all believe in an eternity with our Savior, Jesus Christ. But there was a phrase, I haven't heard it recently. Maybe I'm just not hanging around with the right people. But there was a phrase, and I don't know if you've heard it, YOLO. Y-O-L-O. It was popular among some high school kids that I know of. Y-O-L-O, you only live once. Now, what they meant by that, in my opinion, I could be totally wrong, but when people said that, what they really meant by that is live life to the fullest, enjoy it, do whatever you want. And in my mind, they were saying indulge in whatever immoral practice you want to live in because you only have one chance to do it. Now, my what I wanted to respond to that is, yes, you only live once, so you better live it right. But I never did respond that way. We're actually going to come back to this phrase because I think YOLO, you only live once, is more true than what even the people that use that phrase realize. But if we think about, eternity, I said there's two beliefs. One is that there is an eternity, and one that after this life, there's nothing anymore. We see in the Bible, in our Old Testament reading, there's not a lot about afterlife in the Old Testament, but the story of Elijah being taken up into heaven, that's one of the most popular stories that we can point to, that there is an afterlife, because Elijah is just taken into heaven and not seen anymore. So that's one of the stories. Job has a section in his thing where he says, in my flesh, though my flesh is eaten away, I will stand in my flesh again one day before the Lord. So, and he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. So we have the concept of an afterlife in the Old Testament, but it doesn't really become real clear until we get into the New Testament. And so today, as we think about this belief in eternity, we want to look at the key belief for today, which is, I believe there is a heaven and a hell, and that Jesus will return to judge all people and to establish his eternal kingdom. Now, that's probably one of the longer key belief statements that we've had so far, but let's say it together. I believe there is a heaven and a hell, and that Jesus will return to judge all people and to establish his eternal kingdom. So as we look at this key belief this morning, eternity, the Bible is going to be clear that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And that when someone dies, that's where they go. And as we look at that, especially from the perspective of the account of the rich man and Lazarus that was our gospel reading for this morning, we have the rich man and Lazarus, and I'm not going to go into all the details of the account there, but they both die. The rich man goes to a place where that's described as torturous, and he's hot, and Lazarus goes to the side of Abraham, which is Abraham described as a righteous man before God, and so when Abraham dies, he goes before God. And so we have Lazarus, who is with Abraham in what we would call heaven, and Lazarus, who is in the torments of what we would call hell. And so there's this interchange between the rich man and Abraham. And the rich man is saying, please let Lazarus come here and dip his finger in some water to cool my tongue, because the flames are hot. And what's Abraham's response? His response is, that can't happen. Because once you get to heaven or hell, there's this great chasm, there's this great divide between the two, and you can't pass from one to the other. And so it clearly teaches this thought of eternity, and that there is a heaven and a hell, and once you're in one of those, there is no getting out. That's where you are for eternity. In our Revelation passage for this morning, it also points this out a little bit for us as well, talking about a new heaven and a new earth. But then toward the end of that reading in Revelation 21 verses 5 and following, and he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. So the one who drinks from the water, the one who believes in Jesus Christ, has eternal life. They're going to drink from that spring of eternal life, eternal water that God has in store for them. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. What I'm trying to point out here is that, and what God's Word is pointing out for us, is that the Bible is clear that there is a heaven and a hell. Whether one wants to believe that or not, there is an eternity that we will live in. Some will live in the, forever in the eternity in the presence of Christ in the new heaven and the new earth. Some are going to live for eternity in the pits of hell. And as I said at the beginning, there's really two people. There are those that believe there is no afterlife, do not believe in God at all. And there are those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who are going to experience heaven. I don't know if you've ever tried to do this, but I've tried to put myself in a person's position that doesn't believe in God or doesn't believe in anything. And it's really kind of depressing because you have absolutely nothing to hold on to. But as I thought about this, I thought, you know, if I were one of them, and someone approached me with the gospel message of Jesus Christ, what would I choose? Would I choose to be a believer in Jesus, or would I continue to live in my unbelief? And I thought, this is what I thought. I thought, you know, and it makes sense to me, and I don't know why people don't see that way. I guess God just hasn't worked in their hearts yet, and that's hard to understand. But I thought, okay, I've got the option of believing in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And when I die, I get to go to heaven and live in the most wonderful place that there could ever be, something far greater than this earth. And if I choose that, and if I'm right, what do I gain? Everything. Eternity with Jesus Christ in the most beautiful place. The scripture describes the golden streets, the banquet feast that's overflowing. I mean, you gain everything. If I happen to be wrong, what have I lost? Nothing. Okay? But if I decide to choose unbelief, reject God, and I die, and I was right that there's no afterlife, what have I gained? Nothing. Because that's what I was expecting. But what have I lost? Everything. It makes sense to me, but yet people still choose unbelief. They choose to follow after their own heart. And even we do that as Christians. It's called sin, but our Jesus covers our sin. And as I thought of this, you know, how refreshing is it to know that when we die, when we leave this place, we have something much better waiting for us. The phrase YOLO came back to my mind as I was writing this sermon. And I thought, you know, you only live once. That is true. Our life begins at conception and it goes on for eternity. Because when we die, when our physical body dies, we really don't die. In our First Thessalonians chapter 4, which I use at funerals a lot, Paul describes the body when someone dies as simply being asleep. And when you're asleep, you're one day going to wake up. And so when we die, our bodies, yes, they're placed in the ground, but at that point, our soul and our body separates and our soul goes either to heaven or, as the rich man experienced, to the flames of hell. And then on the last day, when Jesus Christ returns, our bodies and our souls are reunited, and the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, we're going to experience the new heaven and the new earth that God creates. And so we really do live only once. But it starts at our conception and continues on for eternity. The only difference is those who believe that Jesus Christ died for them and rose for them get to experience that eternity in heaven with Him. Those who reject it live for eternity in hell. I pray that everyone as a Christian, first and foremost, knows that when you believe in Jesus Christ, and whether that belief was brought to you in the waters of baptism as an infant, or you learned it later on in life through God's Word or through someone sharing God's love with you, that we have eternal life. And we actually get to experience some of that now. We get to experience the forgiveness on a daily basis that God has for us. We get to experience at least a foretaste of the feast to come when we have the Lord's Supper up here. But we will experience it to the fullest when Christ returns, and really on His final coming, when our souls and bodies are reunited and we get to enjoy the new heaven and the new earth. I pray that we know that you hold on to that. But I also need to tell us something else. We have a job to do. We have a charge that God has given us. And that is to let everyone we know about His love. I can almost guarantee you that every single person here this morning knows someone that doesn't know who Jesus is. And when they die, there's nothing else that can be done. Because once a person is in heaven or hell, you cannot cross over. And God has placed us here as that sixth key belief, as the church, to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ to a dying and hurting world. And I pray that He can use our church, I pray that He can use us as individuals to share the love of Jesus so that more and more people can come to know Him and enjoy the forgiveness in life that we have. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.